Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. We are back with another episode of The Wilds from Amazon Prime. We are dying to watch episode 7 and 8, but for you guys, we are a spoiler-free podcast. So we've only seen up until 4, 5, and 6 for this specific pod. We haven't seen anything on social media. We haven't gotten any spoilers. You guys promise? No spoilers?
Promise.
Emma's the Reddit.
Self-control. Yeah.
No spoilers.
Okay.
No spoilers.
So we absolutely are going home and watching the last two because we're dying. We're going to go in chronological order, 4, 5, 6. There is a sexual assault trigger warning for episode 4. So dark. Devastating. Hate it. But just so everyone knows. But any initial thoughts before we jump right into episode 4?
I'm starting to love the boys. Yeah, I mean, as I'm watching them more and more and, you know, they're becoming friends, I'm like, all right, now the boys are getting up to almost the level as the girls. But I just really enjoy how they're telling the story. It's really cool how they're going back and forth. I said it last time, but it adds so much to it, so much guessing. And like this is so much fun to do. Like what we're talking about, what we think it's going.
Yeah, I think. They're not going as deep with the boys' backstories. There's just not enough time. And I thought about that because we kept being like, we want more Kieran. Like, we want to see it happening, you know. But they're doing a good job with what they're working with, right? This time crunch, trying to fit all the storylines in. I'm starting to like the boys, too. But it's definitely not the same treatment as the girls got for a full season of all their backstories.
Yeah, I actually had an opposite reaction, Alex. Like, I really like that they're not giving us more of the boys because I really liked that we got to know all of the girls and like how they got there. But I really like how the guys' stories, like we're really only knowing what we need to know in order to understand the story's progression and like why things are happening. So I actually kind of really like that. It makes it feel a lot more like intentional almost.
Yeah, I think my only thing with that is like with the Kieran of it all is I'm actually way more interested in Kieran than Ivan, but the Ivan episode made me be like, that was brutal. Like, it didn't necessarily make me like him anymore. Whereas I think a Kieran episode would make me like him more. I think he's actually like a softy, sweet boy inside. He's just probably had a hard life.
Can we just say what a turn of events, what a Shyamalanian twist that I actually like Kieran now. Like, I know, that is insane. Right?
I knew it.
Yeah, we're gonna have to revisit those favorite of the boys after episodes because Kathleen was running the Seth fan club.
So,
and only Emma pegged Kieran as a likable person. I, for my part, had Henry, who came out of these episodes unscathed. He's rocks. Probably still my favorite.
Henry had a great scene where
a young boy, a father.
It was so good.
Perfect.
And go on. Gretchen's like, so it, go on. That was awesome.
It's perfection.
And then she goes,
oh my God, no.
Yeah. He's so quiet that it was just so good that he just sort of like belting it at them. But the first few lines, I was like, I know what he's saying. But
yeah.
What is it? And then I was like, oh God, what a troll. He's like,
As soon as he said a young boy, Emily was like, oh my God. I was like, what? And then he goes on and Emily knew it right away.
Yeah.
And also to going back to the Seth thing, Emily was like said out loud to me, like, I'm so mad Seth is a narc because he's so hot and so attractive. And I was like, I know, he's so handsome. It's so annoying that now he's a horrible person.
So I actually
We find out that he was the narc after everything happened?
You find out right in the beginning of 5. So 4 is when it happens, very end of 4. And then 5, they basically open up the episode with him on the camera being like, hey, like trying to like frame Josh basically for being drunk and being like, take away his credit basically. But I will say I have 2 things I want to backpedal on. I did guess that Seth was a narc. I said, not only is he my favorite, but he's the narc in our first pod app. But fuck him. Fuck him so hard. I'm so mad I said that. Gross. Hate that. 2 is I was listening back and I said that Marty was being a little diva-ish. And I want to take that back. I don't want to say that. I don't want that out in the world. I love Marty. She's a sweet angel girl. I just think that she... No, I'm just going to fully backpedal. She's not. I love her. Okay.
We accept your change of mind.
The apology tour. Is that going to be someone every episode? Oh,
this is always welcome to the pod.
Come on. That was me on Cursed. And what was her name? Small redhead. What's her name?
Take it back, Paul. You're still
I was exiled. Like, you know what? I take it back. I love it. But yes, Martha has been going through shit like low key these three episodes.
Oh my God.
And God bless her. And of course, she's the only one. She's the only girl that we haven't seen besides Nora. But, you know, to jump ahead a little bit, we got a little sneak peek. But and it's like, oh, God, like something must happen now. It's horrible.
Do you guys remember in season one? I just brought this up to Kathleen. In one of the episodes, they like alluded to her, like Gretchen and the other two guys. I keep calling them doctors, and they're absolutely
you mean season
not.
One, episode one.
What did I say? Oh,
no, I don't know.
Season one,
okay,
not episode one. Just I can't remember what episode, but they said something like the blah 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 family is asking, or they alluded to Marty not being okay, but I don't know if that meant like dead or like we're starting to think. And this is jumping ahead, like catatonic or something.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Like, I thought.
They did mention her, but we never saw her. And it just clicked in my brain yesterday.
I was kind of like waiting for Marty to like something to happen for her to die. And then, you know,
me too.
Towards the end of, you know, episode six, when she's really starting to crack, it's like, okay, maybe she didn't die. But exactly what you guys are saying, maybe she's like in a hospital getting better or an institution trying to figure out like how to recover. So
realistically she's in four walls in that scary prison. They're all somewhat isolated.
But. Yeah. I really don't think Marty's dead. I think she's literally just catatonic. I think she's like staring and has been because it's the last episode is day 40. Episode six is day 48. So they're 2 days from getting captured or exodus is the last
that's
one
true this could be the reason why they get rescued. We don't know.
Yeah, they don't know if they chose day 50 as that is actually the end. It seems like a clean cut, like day 50 they were only supposed to be there for 50, but you never know. It could just be like fuck.
I mean, if they were excelling, Gretchen might have been like, let's keep them there and see.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
you know.
This
which
is
up to this point they weren't doing terribly.
Yeah.
While we're on it, somebody brought up the point that one of the parents, I think it was Leah's parents, were told that this was going to be like a summer camp situation. So ballpark, that's like 90 days, a full summer, 3 months. If the island portion was only scheduled to be 50 days, you pull them out, that still gives like another, I don't know, 30 odd days for them to continue studies, which suggests that, I think Kathleen, you might have said, is this portion where they're in the prison cells, is that part of the study still?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess kind of those timelines would support that theory is what I was trying to say.
Yeah. More and more, I'm like, I think that these people are ready to just pay off everybody to see what happens. They're truly just like, oh, there was no end game with you guys. We're just going to pay you off. Like, we'll take whatever heat we get for the good of the study, you know, because I keep saying, dude, with Nora, how is Rachel ever going to forgive Nora now? They just ruined that sisterhood and everything. It's like, how, I don't know, all of it. I'm like, how are they going to explain it away? But I think the point is they're not trying to explain it away. I think it's just, this is the experiment. And it's like that experiment on that HBO documentary where it's like they separate those triplets at birth and then they end up coming together and everyone's like, well, we just want to see what happened. It's crazy.
That was a crazy documentary.
Great documentary.
Sidebar. Yeah.
Great documentary.
Also, ruining the sisterhood aside, Rachel lost a fucking hand.
Yes.
That's what I would do. That's the lasting impact for her. Mm-hmm. How is Gretchen going to look her in the eye and be like, it was just an experiment. Sorry, bud.
You proved my point.
Your sister's fine, but
yeah, overcame
also,
it.
Like the trauma of her losing her sister.
The
like,
trauma for everybody.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Right. I mean, that alone is enough. Yeah, I wouldn't.
If,
I wouldn't
if you were
like,
Rachel,
oh, sorry, I'm okay, Gretchen. It's all okay.
Yeah. Right. Like if you're Rachel and you see Nora, it's like, dude, how the fuck did you let me suffer for those, you know, 3 weeks or whatever that I thought you were dead? Because like she saw her, like she was putting her hand on the screen, saw how much she was suffering. And like, I'm sure Gretchen won't let her go, but it's like, come on.
Speaking of that, I just need to take a second to commend the acting of these young actors because, oh my goodness, they are incredible. Like Sarah Pigeon, I don't know how she does it.
Yeah, Leah,
you can literally see the emotions in her eyes. There was one scene that when we get to, I'll explain, but I just was like, I turned to Brian and I said, I can see every emotion flashing through her eyes right now. Like you can just feel it.
It's nice to see like a season two returning cast, like coming into their own and really like they've had so much time to sit and be in their characters like between seasons and now season two. And the chemistry between them is amazing. Like the girls' banter is flawless. It really is. Yeah. It's so good. And it's better than last season one, because again, writers hit their stride as well. But then the actresses hit their stride. But
I bet you there was a lot of like ad lib lines or something like, let's try this real quick. I'd just between the girls, just because like they seem like they actually are friends. Like,
yeah.
Shooting these two seasons, they spent so much time together. I'm sure they actually are like happy to be around each other. And like, all right, like let's incorporate this.
Certainly seems that way on Instagram.
For most of them.
I haven't followed any of them yet because I didn't want to see any spoilers or anything like that. But I'm gonna do what Emily did and deep dive pretty much everybody.
You ready to rock?
I'll take us in. All right. Okay. Episode 4. Here we go. We got Dot and Fatten kind of just shooting the shit. I think Fatten's like scribbling in her notebook and they get to talking. They find out, oh, today's July 18th. Dot's like, ah, crap. It's my birthday. The big 18. And Fatten is just like, it's like a deer hearing a predator. Like, oh, what? Your birthday? What? What's going on here? Really? And of course, Dot knows the cat's out of the bag. She's like, of course, she's just not a birthday girl. I don't do them. They're stupid, yada, yada, yada. Fatten already sees what's going to happen. And Paul, would you like to drop the quote? Because I know you love it.
Mm. Ice the booze and get horny, bitches. It's Dotter. Oh, I fucked up. It's Dorothy's motherfucking birthday. Whatever. I only care about the first part.
Ice the booze part. And get horny. It's Dorothy's motherfucking birthday.
Love it.
Good line. Like, clip that for forever.
Tattoo it on our body.
An absolute legend.
Yeah.
So that kind of just sets the tone right off the bat for a feel-good episode for the girls. Even though they do go through it a little bit, this is a pretty good episode for the girls. We were even commenting on the last episode. Vibes are good on the girls' island this season.
Ever since Barb's crate showed up, man, it's like a vacation.
Happy retirement, Barbara.
I love that they reference her as a person in these episodes, or like Barb would or something like that.
Yeah, like Fatten's going through the box and it's like, oh, and champagne, like fucking Barbara, you dog, or like something crazy like that.
Yeah, so this is when Shelby kind of, she's anxious about letting the boat go, I guess. And she's channeling her energy into planning this party and being crazy town. And the moment between Tony, like when the flower crown happens and who's making Shelby and Martha, I guess, or Tony and Martha. And it's not good. And she just like shames the hell out of it. And Tony's like, OK, we got you. Like, I got you, B, or something. And Marty's like, who are you? What, like, who body swapped you?
Tony's like, it's only hot when she does it.
Yeah. Sexy. Even.
I honestly loved that scene. I loved the chemistry between Tony and Martha there. Yeah. Like, it was just so cute. Martha was such a good friend. She was so supportive. She was just like, oh my God, like, you love her.
And we're
not in those words, but basically.
We're all like, the viewers are all Marty too. We're like waiting for Tony to explode and like thinking about like how to calm her down. And all of a sudden she's like, all right, cool. And it's like, damn, like she really does like calm you down. It's insane.
It's hot.
How about the scene where Leah and Fatten like intercept Dot, because they're on like distract Dot duty and Leah just completely blows it. She's like, they're doing Tai Chi. Wait, no, it's like feng shui or whatever. She's just so obvious. And Dot's like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? She's literally dragging a log. She's like, I don't know, found this log. I thought maybe we could sit on it or whatever.
Use it as a crossbeam.
These are like the chores that adult Dot is up to. She's like, I don't know. They're like, no. I think Fatten even gets in a lick. Like, yeah, I need someone to help me slingshot and I'm not going to give it to this nutcase pointing at Lily.
It's so good.
Awesome. And Leah just takes it on the chin at this point. Leah, I might have to reverse Leah might be my favorite of the girls. Fucking love me some Leah.
Me too.
Yeah. Continue.
I was pretty much on the last episode. I don't want to say Leah hater, but I was like the least hype about Leah. But I mean, she just keeps getting better and better going into season two. And like what Brian's saying, the way she kind of leans into the crazy part, because like she knows, like, I'm on an island by myself. Like, I'm going to go insane. And she like kind of slowly sees it, and just watching her go through it and joke about it. And it's so funny. And
I don't know if she knows that she's going to go insane, but she definitely is going insane.
I mean, and yeah, rightfully so, because she's correct in that she's been put on this island on purpose and no one will believe her. And then as these episodes go on, you see Fatten kind of be like, oh shit. And then he's like, it's don't Nora, dare.
It's Nora's notebook, right? That Fatten has. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, how did Leah not see that and like rip it out of her hands at some point? Like, I was blown away. I said, I think it was in my notes and I might have said it to you. I was like, where the hell is the notebook? Like, I would imagine Leah would just be only looking for that. And I thought they would bury it with her shit. And then somehow, but I also see how it's a valuable tool for them to keep. So maybe that's but I just, it flew under the radar, I think, in my opinion, which was kind of surprising.
I always understood it as communal. In the last episode, didn't we kind of talk about it? Like maybe she pulled them out and like threw the pages she was writing on in the fire or something.
Yeah. I was saying like, how could they not see them or at least notice like all these pages missing? But yeah, exactly. It was communal because in season one, she even gave it to Leah. It's a journal. And she was like, just journal, do the whole journal, what you see thing. Yeah. I understand it was communal. So it was pretty ballsy of Nora to put like all that information in there. And honestly, the way Seth, to jump forward a little bit, was walking around cutting all those microphones and wires, I'm like, these guys are on this island scavenging for stuff. How do they not come across one of these?
Yeah,
no, but it was just under that's the just log. Me. That was interesting.
Well, that is super interesting, right? Because they had to build that fire pit. So they had to place the logs. And then he goes under to like cut it, but it's like under the log that they would have placed there. So like,
It's a little nitpicky, like, of me saying, oh, obviously they'd find that. But still, it's one of the things that just bothers me.
No, because I'll say that I actually really enjoyed that because, of course, we've seen the cameras. But it is nice that obviously they've been listening this whole time. That almost felt like a nod to the viewers to be like, just so you know the mechanics of it all.
I like
yeah, true.
You know, and because that's something that we could say, like, how the fuck do they know what's going on by the water? Who's micing these people up? Like, you know what I mean? So it is kind of nice.
But then on the flip side, how did they get there?
They set it up all before.
Because if the logs were all set up like that, then they would have landed on this island and be like, why are the logs set up like a fire? You know, like
it could be Blake the cake guy, the one who knows the terrain better than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, we know that someone has come onto the islands after they've been there, because like obviously they removed Jeanette
from placed the one. Dead body and everything. Yeah,
someone
yeah,
saw like, someone last season. Who was it?
It was someone... Martha saw Blake
when
she was high, which phenomenal episode. I love that episode. And then when she got the girls and went back, they're like, oh, it was Marcus. So they placed Marcus in the middle of the woods, even though he got like taken away in when the tide came up. So that was like a big like trigger for, I think it was Leah, was like, how the hell did this thing get back here? We lost it.
I remember that.
Marty, when she was high and the plane sequence with the dancing, like the choreography and the dancing with Blake, like the seven of him doing the dance routine last season is like the Kieran dance this season, which I loved. I mean, Cut to the Feeling by Carly Rae Jepsen is the bop so of good. All bops.
So good.
I don't want to jump like, ahead.
But do you also think of Siesta Key?
I know that that's the theme song, but I actually didn't know that until I was like playing it so much and someone was like, this is the Siesta Key theme song.
Yeah, I keep tripping myself up and thinking that like I'm watching Siesta Key every time I hear it. And then I'm like, wait, no.
Great scene.
It's an awesome scene.
But there's not much else besides the actual party. And obviously the party has some good stuff with Shelby and Rachel. Rachel is already kind of getting snippy with Shelby for being so hopeful when she's party planning because Rachel makes the cake. And then she's like, this is going to be the best day ever. It's blah, blah, blah. And Rachel's like, this is not paradise. Shut up. Like, please get a hold of yourself. We're not like on paradise. And I get both sides. Totally. I mean, you got to make the best of what you got. But I mean, that's the start of Rachel spiraling, but she has fun at the party. That party sequence is great.
When you say spiraling, do you mean going religious?
No, I just mean like she's as she gets drunker and during the day, she's having a little bit of a neuro spiral. I mean, but yes, that too. But and then she gets drunker and drunker. And then she says, fuck your birthdays when everyone goes. And Dot says it's her best birthday. Low bar, but it's her best birthday. And I was like, be still my heart. That girl deserves the best birthday ever. For the rest of her life. Just
I'm so happy.
I also, one thing that I thought that was really cool about this episode, and I know that we haven't talked really about the guys yet, is just the juxtaposition, right? Like, first of all, the girls have made it this long without anything really like nasty within themselves happening. Like, even though they've gotten in fights, they've been mad at each other. Like, they've always, at the end of the day, stuck by each other's sides. So earlier today when Brian and I were rewatching, I like turned to him and I was like, it's really interesting to me just how quickly the boys went Lord of the Flies. Like,
that's what I wrote. It's like, yeah, they're going
like quite Lord literally, the like they went there so much faster. Like, the girls still haven't gotten there. And then like the girls obviously only really got very drunk. They got high, and I feel like they might have gotten drunk in the first season.
They had airplane bottles, I think.
Yeah, they had like vodka, right? Like
early on, yeah.
Yeah, but like this episode was all about their time getting drunk and how it was like a party, and then for the boys, how it took such a dark turn, even though it was a party at first. Yeah. I also think that there's definitely a connection between like killing the jaguar and monstrous energy coming
sure.
out.
Sure. I like that.
Yeah.
It's very analytical.
You're getting a little deep with it.
Yeah. I like that. That's good.
Like, they're celebrating the killing, like the monster on the island, but it's like, ah, you thought.
Right. Whereas like you see Martha like devastatingly upset after killing animals. So there's definitely some interesting juxtaposition just right there between the men and the women.
I like that.
Took Martha a little bit to get there, though. Martha went around slaughtering for a few weeks there.
Not at first.
That was insane.
Yeah. Not at first, though.
I know, but after her first kill, after that goat, oh my God. She was just like, any animal with four legs, and you come by me, you're fucking dead.
Marty the Hunter. But to round out the girls, I mean, I really liked this conversation between Shelby and Rachel. So basically, when Rachel freaks out, she goes, well, no, she doesn't really freak out. She's just sad, right? And she goes to the water, and Shelby takes it from Dot and says, you're retired. Be retired like Barb. And so this answers a good question that I had, which was, did Shelby tell Tony about Becca? Because I loved Shelby's storyline so much. I thought that like her episode was so heartbreaking and good. And as someone who is queer ourselves, like, we don't have to deal with that. We don't have like mega religious parents. It's such an interesting thing to see. Like, Shelby the entire season was obviously being homophobic, quote unquote, because that's how she was raised. And her whole life, she was taught that that's like evil and she'll be shunned from her family if that's what it is and whatever. So I was like, I wonder if we get that off, if that happened off screen. And obviously not. I think that this is a confirmation that no, she's only told Rachel this.
I don't think this show does off screen stuff. If I'm being honest, like talking about ripping pages out of Nora's book or this, they'll show it at some point if it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And these are like plot advancing things I would categorize them as, you know, so, but, yeah, she told Rachel her truth and then all of a sudden got Rachel bought in on like, oh, you've been through some shit. Yeah. And then now Rachel's on the God train, which was an interesting turn from someone who's like, it just doesn't seem very her, you know?
That was a whole curveball I did not see coming, but honestly makes complete sense. You know, Rachel super unbelievably vulnerable right now after just one losing a hand and then two losing a sister trapped on an island. Like her kind of turning and looking for something just to like help get her through. And the fact that Shelby was just kind of saying, she's trying to not get run away from that, but like her religion is causing so much distraught in her life. But then seeing how it can comfort Rachel too, even though all she does is give her a necklace and tell her a few, you know, incantations or I don't want to say, I guess they were prayers. but their mantra, that was what I'm thinking of mantra.
I like incantations. Now, forevermore. Prayer for incantations.
Witchcraft up in hand. That'd be better.
That would be better.
I was going to say, almost see Shelby like trying to just, I don't know, give the good of it to Rachel. And as she takes a step back, someone else is like stepping forward in it. And because even Tony's like, are you good? Like, you gave away your necklace and stuff. You know, it's so quintessential to who she is.
Yeah.
But I think she's needing to evolve within it or away from it for who she actually is and has been like covering up, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say for myself, like, I'm not religious at all necessarily, but I think that there is something about having faith in something, right? Like, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, you use the word God, but I think that a lot of the people who are in those programs probably don't worship a religious sense of the word God, but it's just it's like something to believe in that's bigger than you, that like gives a purpose for everything rather than just like, here's some shit on a platter, so sorry your life sucks.
Yeah, it's a take, you know, you away from being the center of the universe, so to speak. Because I think in situations like that, recovery or grief, deep grief, you kind of need that, right?
Absolutely. Kinda just, you like, need something to like, energy a way elsewhere. To understand it and move forward. Yeah. So like, I think that even if it's not Rachel taking it religiously, like she kind of laughed at like a baptism. She was like, no, like, you know, it's just believing, at least the way I interpreted it is just believing in something. Whereas for Shelby, definitely like the religious aspect is a large piece and that's going to be a hard way to separate the two because she probably feels a lot of shame for who she is. I mean, we saw that in her episode. So,
yeah. So it kind of ends on a darker note, but a nice moment with them for the girls after Dot's party. And then we go to the boys and it's just deeply dark, deep spiral.
Yeah.
Like, this is well, it's joyful. And then it gets dark.
It's like, what I write, like beast mode, savage mode. Like they truly went like primal. And then
Henry leading the just yelling chant. There was a just like screaming chant. I loved it. I was like, guys being guys around a fire, drinking. You guys were like, this is stupid. I'm like, no, I fucking love this scene.
I was watching that. I was like, they're checking all the boxes. Shirts are off. A little like monkey noises. Huge ass fire. Beer. But yep, we're all good.
He did do that. Also, he was coming off of his brother's bachelor party weekend where they literally were just doing stuff like that. And exactly. Being like, boys being boys,
pretty standard.
So like when we were watching that, I remember like looking at him and being like, yeah, seems pretty accurate.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
I was watching that like, boys are the worst, like this is gross.
The only thing unrealistic about it is they weren't trying to jump over the fire, because you definitely would see a couple guys trying to do
But maybe not, because you don't want to risk putting it out.
Look, I'm going to paint you a picture. You're stranded on an island and you just killed a literal fucking jaguar. You're telling me you're not going to celebrate in the most ridiculous way possible? Nothing matters. You're a castaway on an island. Make a monkey noise. Paul, me and you are on the same page. As our resident, oh my God, as our resident dudes on the podcast,
dude,
I'm going to give that the stamp of approval, not the sexual assault.
I was also on your side, though.
Yes, that was not on the checklist.
That's not
course.
What the boys are doing around the fire.
No, no. There's three storylines going on. It's kind of the Dot birthday on the girls' island. There's not too much there. And then the other two are Leah is trying to work Roth in the prison cells under the instruction of Gretchen. And I finally got a name for the FBI agents. It's Dan and Dean. The blonde guy is Daniel and the other guy is Dean. But yeah, so she's in Roth's cell. She's asking him about what happened on day 15. That's why we're getting the story of day 15 for this episode. So it's what happened in the boys on day 15 and then Leah trying to coax that story out of Rob. I'm not sure there's too much to discuss in the prison cell other than Leah is very manipulative and she is able to get that out of Roth with much ease. She's like being flirty and like, I'm like, look at this girl work. Oh my God. She is like years ahead of where she should be for 17.
She's targeting middle-aged men. She knows how to flirt up.
She knows what she's doing.
She's got Roth putty in her hands. Although I'm also thinking maybe Roth was playing coy too. He seems to have this air of like, he's just letting things happen in front of him and seeing where it can run to. Either way, I'm not the biggest Roth fan. You know, I'm a Leah fan, Kathleen, you know this about me. But anyway, she does get it out. Although she stops him and says, yeah, they're listening, but me and you are actually allies in this. And I think she messages to him like, our play is to get more of our people out and in a position to help. And that's all I want to say about that. And then we can get to the boys stuff where they're hunting the Jaguar. But Paul, what's up?
Question. Do you guys think Leah stopped Roth because she wanted to get more out, or she didn't want to give Gretchen and everybody the information? Or do you think she actually was truthful when she said, like, I don't know why I did it. I just stopped it because, like, I felt bad.
No, I think she was trying to protect him.
The former. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she had a slight crisis of conscience, especially because what was on the line was a phone call to her boy, man, whatever that is.
But also, like, someone who had been asking about her, like, regardless of it being like him, like, if anyone was asking about where they were, like, I don't know, I'd be like, they're actively looking for me, you know?
Yeah.
Emma, I'm glad you brought that point up because that's a legitimate point. Someone's looking for me, they could help locate us. But if any of her decisions after 50 days stranded on an island were still being driven by what will make this fucking 40-year-old happy and want to see me, I would have pulled my hair out.
Yeah, I would
have hated that. I think that is the creepiest, most worst thing about this show is Leah's fixation with the dude. I hate it. It's gross. And I hate it because I know that it happens in real life. That old men are manipulating like these 17-year-old girls. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's upsetting because it's not her fault. Like, she...
No.
She was groomed.
Yeah, she was.
She did lie, but she
lied a little bit, but also she looked way too young for that man to be.
Pretty sure he picked her up at a high school.
He didn't do his due diligence at all, nor did he want to. I was
17 and J.K. Rowling like had a crush on me. Like, you know.
Not turf, J.K. Rowling.
All right, well, she was the author of my favorite book. So.
Yeah, at 17, it's okay. We didn't know she was a turf then.
Me too.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, the boys killed a jaguar, right?
Sure did.
Yeah. So the boys are discussing the plan and Scotty's kind of leading the charge. He's drawing in the sand. They're making fun of him because he can't draw a jaguar. And they all kind of are. I think it's like Scotty and Kieran are having like a dick measuring contest about it. And then Seth comes up and kind of is just like, this part of your plan with the spears is good, but like, you're right. We can't take them head on. And they finally devise this plan. Okay. If we take everybody's plan, mix it together, we can do this trap door in the hatch that we found with the spears. And then they start delegating, you do this, you do this. And I think this is where Josh is kind of like, yo, Spills, can me and you do one of the tasks together? And he pins Josh off with Roth to do their little thing so that he can have a one-on-one with Kieran. He's like, yeah, this isn't going to work unless me and the muscle guy get on the same page. So we get this Seth and Kieran scene where they're in the woods and they kind of just have it out. Kieran's like, I see right through you, bro. You're like the friendly camp counselor, but I'm not buying it. Tries to get up in his face. Seth's like, yo, I see you. You're the muscle head. I'm not buying it. Neither of them are buying what the other's selling. So these two just don't like each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this scene of honestly Seth and Kieran kind of confronting because they seem to be like the two leaders of the guys. And I loved it more when I didn't know Seth was actually like a narc. Like, I kind of liked if that was Seth's actual personality, saying like, dude, I know I have a weakness. I want people to like me, you know, so I'm not going to hide from it. And then confronting Kieran saying, you know, I'm not scared of you. And all that. I liked it. And then all of a sudden I was like,
so this is where we get Seth's backstory, the only backstory we have. He tells Kieran, like, oh, I wish I could just like fuck girls like you, which is, first of all, this, I watched Four twice and it's the corniest bullshit I've ever seen. Like, first of all, him being like, okay, I'm just like spitballing here. Let me see. We got the hatch. Anyone? We like put stuff over the hatch. So they like full. It's terrible on the second rewatch, knowing he's the narc. I was like, oh my God, this is so bad. And then, so his backstory is basically, I broke up with my girlfriend and stole her cat. It's like, this boy is nuts. He's a stalker for sure. Like, even if you didn't know he was the narc, like, that's bad. Like, that's a bad,
bad
thing.
Look. If Brian stole Maisie.
Yeah, like, I don't have a cat, but I assume that's like one of the worst things you could do.
I mean, that's my dog, to be clear.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And I do have
two cats. You could live without one of them.
No. Well, yeah, the one that we share, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
The other thing is that it's just such a power struggle between the two of them. And like, the core difference is that like, Kieran is actually secure in who he is, right? Like, he was actually this popular guy that everyone liked, was really good at sports. Like, he might have had a shitty home life, but like, he wasn't actually a shitty person. He just is a bro and kind of a fuck boy. And like, he's a 17-year-old guy. Like, I don't know. Most guys that I knew at that age were like him. But then there's also Seth, who wants to be the Kieran. Like, he wants to be the guy that everyone likes and everyone wants to be and feel very confident and secure in himself. But in actuality, he's very insecure. And the way that he just like shows his need for power is much more manipulative and like toxic. And I feel like it's actually very dark, rather than Kieran's just like
young harmless, and dumb. Yeah.
Yeah, like a harmless bro. Like, he's just a 17-year-old idiot.
Although when we get into the like savagery of them kicking people out, that's a conversation I can't wait to have, because I'm like, they do a really good job at making me be like, well, absolutely fuck Seth. But it's like, well, I mean, we'll get into it. I don't want to jump the gun. Brian, take us through.
So I guess after that scene, they do arrive on the beach. They caught like a possum as bait and they have a bunch of spears. So they're kind of ready to go. Between that, there's a scene with Ruff and Josh, who have their side. And this one's kind of just funny because it's Josh describing his experience shadowing in the Latin X club at their high school. He's like, why haven't I ever seen you? Like, I've learned so much. They don't like, my parents wear sombreros and they don't get how their appropriation whitewashes the spirit of anti-colonial resistance. And like, this is so perfect because it's fucking Ruff sitting there laughing like, this is such bullshit. I can't believe like I'm being lectured by Whitey McGee over here. I'm like, oh, okay, buddy.
Dude, what's the one line? He's like, oh, well, what do you prefer? Latino? South American? He's like, oh, you could just call me Mexican. He's like, I can call you? And he's like, dude, I'm from Mexico. It's not a slur.
He says, you giving me a pass right now?
Yeah, like,
legend.
I love Josh. Good for him for trying to, like, he's trying to do the right thing, but it's like, you're trying way too hard. Later on, like, I think in the next episode, he's like, oh, like, he won't drink the water because he doesn't want to, quote, abuse his white privilege. Yeah.
It's like, no, this is about survival.
I
love him.
I do want to point out that right after they show that scene on the island with Josh and Ruff, they go back to Leah and Ruff in the prison cell. And Leah's like, why didn't you kind of like take the time to correct him? Like, that was obviously an incorrect worldview about the Latinx club or what have you. And Ruff's just like, honestly, it's not my problem to teach him. Like, that's his problem. And he also says, I've learned that you can learn a lot about people by just like starting conversation and winding them up and watching them spit out. He's like, that's the best thing about being the quiet guy. Like, people just tell you everything, which is why I'm kind of thinking that he might be working Leah at the same time. But I don't think he's capable of it. I just don't.
He's not on that level.
No, you can't out Leah.
No,
but I wouldn't be surprised if there is a third informant.
That would be something else. A third informant.
I don't know if it would be just for the boys or if there would be one for the girls and the boys, or if it's just for the girls even, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I feel like we're due for another twist at some point.
Mm. Well, maybe especially with the boys, because they had to kill off to make it fair, right? Maybe they still had time to plan and plant.
Right. And it was also Gretchen's son. So maybe she was like, I don't really trust him. Like,
yeah, get him in, get him out. He did his part, but she wanted security of like an extra like operative in the mix.
Yeah.
But so far, I mean,
no,
to jump ahead, we talked to every guy except Seth, who we know is the narc.
I don't think there is. I think that's a good idea. I don't think that there is. I think that Jeanette died. So they had to, knowing that the boys started a little later, they had to kill off one to keep the variables the same. And then Seth was a unreliable extra. I mean,
Nora, but also so was her son. Like, how could she trust that he wouldn't out her? Because he hates her.
Just yelling about his mom. That's all he did. And then his toe. And that was his end scene.
Yeah.
As we continue, there's one more scene before they actually like set up the trap, and it's on the beach. Essentially, all the other boys are making spears. It's Henry, Bo, Scotty, and Ivan. And Scotty and Ivan kind of butt heads, where Scotty kind of calls him out like, bro, look, you got a bedazzled spear. Like, we're trying to work here. You got to man up and stop being so extra. Ivan takes like overly offended at that, calls him a short chode, and they just like beef. And it comes back around in one of the later, actually, I think this episode they hash it out, but it is worth noting. I also think these two are kind of getting a little cute with each other. Kathleen, I know you said all these boys are kissing. I think Ivan and Scotty might be kissing.
I think Scotty's like one of the few that I don't think is going to kiss a boy on this island.
Him and Bo.
Brian, your gaydar is so off.
I know it is. Emma, I looked at you and I was just like, honestly, I think there are moments of just pure camaraderie and friendship that I'm mistaking for gay.
Like, you said the same thing. You were like, yo, Scotty,
welcome to
Ivan, let's go. And I was like, no, definitely not. Like,
do I smell chemistry? Ivan, it's whatever. Sexual. Every time.
Ivan holding a spear, like calling it Excalibur and everything. That was fucking
I great. Loved that. Well, yeah, that's when Scotty kind of like ate crow, right? He's like, oh, like your spear did the thing, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in the fire.
Yeah.
Blood all over it.
Yeah. That was at the after party where he's like, yeah, you were right. Like, way to be brave and stick up to the Jaguar, which brings us to the actual scene where they set up the trap, and then they're just kind of waiting on the beach for it. And they're all I think Henry's getting pessimistic, and he's like, did you ever see the first draft of Bugs Bunny? And Kieran's like, yeah, I have seen that. He's like, no, you fucking idiot. Why would I have seen that? I thought that was like,
yeah,
really funny. Just good hearted bullying. Cause Henry's like, what the fuck, dude?
I like that one.
Anyway, then they hear a roar in the background and they go to it. Kieran like inches up to it and very quietly is just like, it's still alive. That thing like claws out of the trap. Are you kidding me, dude? Take care of it. All the guys run away. Only Ivan and Kieran stay. And Kieran takes care of business. Steps up.
Good. Yeah. Good Kieran moment there.
Act first, think later attitude, like Seth says in a stand-up comedy bit.
Obviously think later because I'm like, just close the hatch and run away. Zero risk.
Right.
Like zero. Absolutely. You don't have to like worry, like get close to it, just close the hatch and put a rock on it and you're good to go.
Yeah, I guess the only thing is then they got to eat it. Like you kill it, you could cook it and eat it. If you like wait it out, it'll rot. It may just rot down there depending on how many days, because you're always going to be scared to open the hatch. You're like
on it a little bit.
You're like, I don't know, but
true.
Yeah,
Karen was like, fuck it, I'm getting over it right now. Killed it. It was great.
I know. And I liked him for that. That was brave, stupid and brave. But then the boys go savage and they're hooting and hollering around the fire. And this is where the bad things happen.
That's crazy. Well, also, Seth starts this night off by doing this thing that I don't know if you guys felt this way, but he starts going around the circle kind of like praising everyone in a way that's like, you did this and like you did that. And like he turns to Josh and like Josh is like, ew. Like with whatever Josh did. But like, I don't know, like I felt like it was super cringe and just like weird. Like
They're probably just drunk and emotional.
You thought the speech was cringe and weird? Like, yeah. The whole thing? I feel like we're going to think in hindsight everything Seth ever has done is cringe and weird and terrible.
But
because
I think moving into it, I thought it was weird. Like, I just felt like it was like completely over the top and it didn't feel genuine. Like, it just didn't.
It never has. Like, it's like over the
That's
top.
That's true.
It's his style of trying to assert himself and be a leader, right? Like, the camp counselor, baseball, it's t-ball like coach guy.
Like, really trying to get everyone to like him.
Alex, I think you said on the last episode, he's just out here white knuckling through life, like just like clenching it. Like, yeah, that's totally what it is.
Everything's great, right? Like twitching. Yeah. Like Leah, but like not actually showing it. Like he's just like waiting to snap. And then he gets pants and he does.
I was hoping that that was the sexual assault, the pants. Like I really was hoping that that was going to be it. And then because we talk about white knuckling, we were the rest of the episode, we were like,
what's gonna happen?
I mean, happened is awful, but I was scared it was just gonna keep escalating, and I was like, I'm petrified.
I was scared too. I had the same thought. Like, I remember, like, I think I was probably squeezing Brian's arm. Your poor arm. I'm sorry.
Well, you thought it was just gonna get worse and worse for like another episode and a half,
I
and
thought that
it
wasn't
might take
gonna...
a while for Josh to confide in anybody, and I'm really glad that it didn't. And Seth even tried to manipulate the situation in the next episode to try and get a word one-on-one with Josh after the fact.
We don't know if it was even get a word. We don't know what it was, but
you're absolutely right.
You know,
but I don't know how much we want to talk about the actual sexual assault. I, for one, I think Emma, I was telling you, it was like, I kind of appreciated that they showed it and it was raw and it was portrayed the way that it was. I think especially considering what age demographic this show is targeting, which is, you know, late teenagers, like this is an actual danger. You know, they should be aware of shit like this. It's fucked up. It happens in real life. And I've been looking at the Reddit. Everybody has an opinion on this scene. It was very powerful. I think after this season's over, it's going to be the scene that sticks with me the most. And yeah, I kind of appreciated them including it.
I also think it was, I don't know what word to pick, not necessarily important, but I just feel like people always take things all the way. And that's not to detract from it being sexual assault, but I feel like I just, we had so many Game of Thrones references today. I thought about like Sansa and Ramsay, and like, I just hated that shit. Like, it made me want to die watching it. And it wasn't as graphic, I guess, is what I'm saying, but it's also painting the picture of assaults, like, doesn't look just one way, right? Like, and it's valid that you feel that you were attacked. Like, you can't downplay that. And so I think, I don't know, I guess if anything, it's sending the right message, even though it's deeply fucked up and dark, but the right message of like, Josh, like, stand up for yourself. People stand up for him. How that plays out on an island scenario gets crazy, and we'll talk about it. But to your point, I think it is powerful and important.
It might be bad. Obviously, it is bad for some people that view it. But it honestly, the next episode, it shows, you know, Josh and his reaction and how some people handle it, and you know, a good way to, you know, confide in somebody.
I think that I was going to say the same thing, that next episode does a good job of like, one, I mean, we can hop into it. I was so scared that the boys were going to be like, Josh, what the fuck? Like, I was so glad that they believed him.
I felt like too, like in my reading Reddit and all of that, the interesting thing that I saw is like a very strong divide in terms of how people felt if it was a power play versus how people felt if Amazon Prime was trying to portray what a closeted person would do, because it seems like there's a lot of misunderstanding in terms of what they were trying to portray. Mm. I personally perceived it as a power play and him trying to be like, you're an actual nice person who doesn't necessarily care what people like think about every word he says. Whereas like Seth is like, psychologically, like, I need everyone to like me and perceive every word I say as like positive and good. And I don't know, maybe that's just how I perceived it, but I perceived it as a total power play versus like something like that. And I thought it was interesting the difference in opinions based off of those two ideas.
I didn't think of it the other way, but it could be. I'm staying off of Reddit.
I know. I can't wait to get into the discourse after we're done, but it's too
soon. They're doing a good job of flagging spoilers. That's so good. I have been able to avoid. And honestly, in the last like day and a half, I have stopped looking because at this point, everyone has finished it. So like, but these are all things I read over the weekend that I thought were really fascinating.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.